This is Fresh Air. One of the hits at this year's Sundance Film Festival was Amongst Friends. It's about three young men from the affluent suburbs of Long Island who turn to crime. The film was written and directed by the 26-year-old Rob Weiss, who already has a movie deal with Universal. In the film, the friends want to finance a drug deal. They need cash, so they hold up a nightclub owned by a local gangster. When the club owner finds out, his men round up the friends and haul them into the club to face the owner.
You shoot my regular security guy. And they got him hanging from the ceiling, ass up, in South Nassau. But that's not my problem. My problem is, you took my money.
It's not what you think.
Shut up! You keep your f***ing mouth shut! You're not that tough. You're all a bunch of f***ing pansies. I'll bet that you had never missed a meal in your f***ing life. When I was a kid, we stole because we had no money. You understand? We had no money. But in those days, we had respect.
Sir, I had no idea. This asshole I got high with, he told me it was nobody's place. I'm with people.
You're not with anyone!
Yes, I understand that. I'm not with anyone. But I'd never disrespect you, I swear. I swear I'd never disrespect you. And my friends here, they didn't have anything to do with it. I set the whole mess up myself. I'll take full responsibility.
Spit it out!
Yeah.
Kid, you just don't get it. Do you know who I am?
Yeah, you're the boss.
You ever hear of Jackie Trattner?
Jackie Trattner, yeah. I know him. He was my grandfather's best friend. He's dead now, right?
Kid, I might be tired, but I ain't dead.
The younger characters in your film are characters who don't steal because they're desperate and broke. Why do they steal?
Wow. Well, there's a lot of, that's a lot of levels to that. A lot of people have said it looks like it's out of boredom, things like that, but it's also to try to stake their own claim in the world. You know, it's like these are guys who will never gain a certain respect because they've been given a certain amount in their life. These are guys who want to go back to the basics of having nothing so that they can gain for themselves so they can earn that respect. I mean, that's the way I've always looked at it. I said they did that so that they can earn respect. You know what I mean? Most people have looked at it and said, well, you know, it's bored youth, this and that, and it is that to a degree as well. But I think it has a lot to do with respect.
These are people who want to act like they have nothing so that they can get respect for getting something. But they're already pretty middle class.
Right, exactly. You know, it's like these are not people who want to take advantage of the wealth or whatever it is, the privileges they've had, but want to get something for themselves. I mean, to them, it was much more glamorous to be like their grandfathers, which we say in the film, because their grandfathers are people who came over on boats with no money, separated from their families, lived in basements, went and made something of themselves, something that they can sleep with as human beings at night. This is what these kids want. You know what I mean? These are kids who want to go out and be able to self-respect themselves. And through that, they do whatever it is they have to do, which makes them feel they'll get that.
Did you grow up in suburban Long Island?
Yeah, for the most part, I did.
And were you also trying to stake out an identity? Did you feel like you wanted to go back to your grandfather's sense of having made it himself?
I don't know if I'd ever consider. Well, yeah, I mean, to some degree, yes. You know, it's like you want to find your identity. I mean, I think everybody's looking for their identity. I'm still looking for mine. It's like, when do we know that? We don't know when we know that. I think I would have preferred. I wouldn't call myself privileged, you know what I mean? Like, I've had privileges. There have been times when I was more privileged than other times, but it was, you know, for the most part, I'd be up and down in a financial way, so I wouldn't look at it like privileged. Like these kids. These kids are kids who are pretty much well off to, you know, pretty stable in that sense, whereas my upbringing was definitely somewhat different than that, but I experienced a lot of what they experienced in this film.
There's an interesting story behind how you financed the film. Would you tell us about it?
I mean, we didn't finance the whole film that way. It seems like it's getting out of hand a little bit.
We're getting exaggerated? Okay.
Oh, it's getting so exaggerated. I mean, every article has a different, you know, it has a different approach to it. What happened was when we first started the film, we had no cash. We were not looking to bring this film to anybody in the industry. We were looking to try to finance it for the most part by ourselves. So my dad was instrumental in getting some of his personal money and also getting some other people that he knew. He has a gambling business. What he is, he's a junket rep. So he sends trips, they're touring travel trips to Las Vegas or the islands. So he approached some of the clients and asked them to bet on the film as if they were betting on, like, let's say the Giants game or something like that. I mean, it wasn't really anything that financed the entire film, but it really was, it was instrumental in helping us begin production, getting through pre-production and production, until we, you know, had enough dailies that we can show to investors and industry people who would then finance it and let us complete the film in the manner that we wanted to work, the way we had been working on our own.
So were these heavy gamblers who he approached, or were these the kind of like weekend gamblers who want to, like, weekend getaway and go to Vegas for...
Right. Those mostly, you know, borderline. Weekend getaway guys, but also guys who might be a little crazy and fanatical about gambling. But most importantly, these were guys, the thing about this, these were guys who'd watched me grow up. These were people I knew as well. I mean, they were close friends of the family. For them, to put up $2,500 on a film, which is what we were asking, seemed to be an awful lot. And then my dad's like, hey, you know, every single day you're betting $2,500 on something, it's like, then you could bet on somebody you've known for their entire life. You know, it's like, what is it? And he convinced them that way. And they looked at it like it was right. At least I was out there, you know, from his point of view, trying to do something that was good.
Let me ask you, the gamblers that your father knows, who you knew when you were growing up, any colorful characters among them?
They're all colorful characters, you know? I mean, my father's a colorful character, or a colorful guy, as I'd say. But colorful how? I mean, they're hysterical guys. They're funny guys, you know? It's like that whole Vegas-y thing, you know? Big bracelets and necklaces. Funny guys. Very funny guys.
My guest is filmmaker Rob Weiss. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. My guest Rob Weiss wrote and directed the new independent film Amongst Friends. Now, in the suburb that you grew up, was it considered that most people would be on a fast track to college and professional career?
Right. Well, that's interesting because I grew up in Baldwin first, which is 20 minutes away from the Five Towns or something. And Baldwin is a much different town. I mean, it's much more of a working class town, you know. And then I moved to Woodmere, and Woodmere is that kind of place where, yes, you graduate high school, you go off to a college, you know, you come back, you move into the city, and you do whatever it is you're going to do with your life, you know. And I didn't go away to school at that point because I was going to go to Parsons in New York, so I was still living at home. And then I met up with all these other guys who were, A, not going to school, B, or not going away to school, or C, had never been to school. I mean... You know, it's sort of like meeting up with all the lunatics in the town who are stuck around. And those become your friends. You know, those are the guys you start hanging out with. And then you find out that, hey, this is where I belong the whole time anyway. I didn't belong at George Washington or Boston University, you know? So, yeah, for the most part, your question was, did these kids go away? Yes. They're groomed, you know, most of these kids for success. I mean, most of my childhood friends were groomed for that.
What about you? Were you groomed for that?
No, not at all. No, I was not groomed to be successful, you know what I mean? I've said it a million times, you know, I'm not quite sure if this is where I belong, you know? I keep feeling like I should be, like, slinging dough somewhere or something, you know? I should be, like, picking up somebody's garbage in front of their house. That's not a self-esteem thing. That's just a matter of saying, no, you know, I didn't go away. I didn't get that kind of education. I don't fit into that area of the workforce, you know, the work population. It's like, no, I wasn't groomed for anything like that.
A lot of films about, you know, young people who... end up becoming involved with crime. Most of those films are set in urban areas.
Right.
They're usually working class or poor people that are the subject of the film. Whereas your film is set in, you know, a prosperous suburb.
Okay.
Did you feel that the subject would be treated differently because of that different setting and because of the different background that the kids are from?
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean... What we did is we looked at films before we started working on this, and we were like, hey, you know, you got Boys in the Hood, you have Matty Rich film Straight Out of Brooklyn, and what this was, we're like, this is wild, man, because these are Jewish kids doing exactly the same thing as those kids were, you know? So, I mean, that we looked at it like that, but I never really gave it much thought, like, inner city as opposed to suburbs and things like that, because, I mean, you're a fool or somebody's a fool if they don't believe crime can happen anywhere. You know, I mean, it's, you know, crime happens in the country, crime happens in the city, crime happens on sea, you know, I mean, it happens everywhere.
I was also wondering maybe if you'd seen, you know, recent films or earlier films, like some of Scorsese's films, and thought, well, how would this translate to my background? How would it translate to my neighborhood?
Yeah, I never looked at, I mean, I've seen every Scorsese film 50 times, but I never once looked at those for guidance in making my film.
Mm-hmm.
I never said, wow, I can make a suburban Mean Streets. You know, because the way I feel about that is, look, you open a magazine, oh, Nick Gomez, he made Mean Streets, you know. You look at Quentin Tarantino, he's rediscovering Mean Streets. Rob Weiss, Suburban Mean Streets. It's like, you cannot make a youth crime film in this country right. without it being compared to Mean Streets in some capacity. You know, I mean, it's just the way it is. And hey, he beat everybody to the punch and he's the most brilliant filmmaker who ever lived. But it's like, that it is what it is. You know, I didn't look at that like that. The way Goodfellas, which we also get a lot of, you know, we get asked a lot about, was that, thing about Goodfellas is those guys are pretty basically the same. They come from the same mold as the guys in my film, or should I say, the guys in my film come from the same mold as those guys. So that's why there are those similarities. Never did I look at Goodfellas and say, "Hey, I want to make a young Goodfellas or something like that." You know.
Another reason why I think the subject of Goodfellas would come up when talking about your film is that the female lead is the daughter of Paul Sorvino, right. one of the stars of Goodfellas.
Right.
How did?
Yeah. Also, I was on the set of Goodfellas a half a dozen times because they were shooting in my neighborhood. I mean, it's a familiar setting. I mean, they talk about the five towns like a dozen times. You know, I mean, that's where the Lorraine Bracco character is from in the film. So it's like, I mean, there's a lot of similarities to it. You know, they talk about growing up by the airport. Hey, that's 5 minutes from where I grew up, you know? So it's like, that's a lot of that. But yes, Paul Sorvino's daughter is in the film, and she's a tremendous actress, so.
While we're on the subject of the Sorvino family, I think it's Paul Sorvino's father who plays the buddy of the
Jack Chatner.
Yeah, of the old crime guy.
Yeah, he plays Fish. Yeah, he's great, man. That guy's great.
Did you know that Paul Sorvino's father was an actor?
No, he's not. He had never acted before.
Oh.
He wasn't an actor. We made him an actor.
Oh,
we grabbed him and made him an actor. Because this is a guy with just so much natural charm and charisma that it's like, you know, it wasn't like he had to like build a character. He wasn't playing, you know, this one or that one or trying to do this or try to do that. He just came out and had to do what he had to do, you know, which was pretty much be true to himself in nature, you know. So he was just great as being himself. It was hysterical. That's who he is. He's hysterical.
You didn't have a lot of money to make the movie. What did you do to shoot cheaply on location?
Nothing. I mean, that was the thing, was that, I mean, of course, you know, we saved whoever we had to save. We'd run out of film a million times. I mean, we didn't have the amount of lights we would like to have had or be able to do the setups, all the setups that I wish we could have done, you know. But we set out to make a film that looked like a $7, $8 million film. And my film is a glossy-looking film. It's a beautifully shot film, a beautifully lit film. It's like the camera movements, like, you know, as smooth as they could be. It is pretty polished. It's like we set out to make that kind of film. So we never said, oh, we could shoot this in 16, or we could blow this up to 35, and let's shoot a black and white grainy. That wasn't the look we were going for. We did whatever we could do to save money, but we never worried about the money. Because we always felt if we run out of money, we'll get more money. Yeah, I think my producer, Matt Blumberg, said this once, and he said it best, is that if we had $70,000, we never said, hey, how are we going to make this film for $70,000? We said, let's go shoot the film that we want to shoot with the $70,000. When we run out of money, then we'll worry about it. You know, we were on a mission, you know. It was unbelievable, so.
What did you use for location shots? Did you use friends' houses?
Well, we had latched up with some interior designer in the neighborhood who had turned us on to all his clients. You know, they were very supportive. I mean, there were people that came out of nowhere that helped us just so tremendously. You know what I mean? We'd go into his house, like the Gordon house or whatever it was in Cedarhurst, you know. And these are people who would not only open their homes to us, but barbecue for us. You know what I mean? These were really, really supportive people who were just, I mean, I don't know what the word is to say, but they liked the energy that was around them. They liked the fact that this was a positive thing, kids doing a creative thing, as opposed to doing something negative. So they were very supportive. So we got those houses, and luckily, within most of these houses, there were things in those houses to use as props that were great. I mean, we had a great production designer, but if you're walking into a house and there's a $15,000 lamp that you could put in the, you know, the foreground of a scene, you're set. And we had a lot of that. You know, we shot in the right neighborhood and the right people got behind us, so we were okay with that.
What's it like to cast a film when you're an unknown and you don't have much money?
You get no respect. I mean, that's all I could say. I mean, when you're an unknown with no money and you're trying to cast something, it's like, man, the stuff I went through, I hired actors who said, hey, you know, we'd hire an actor for a scene, then we'd have to change the date of when we're going to shoot it, and that guy would call back and say, I'm not doing it now. You know, I've done student films before, and I don't like the way I'm being treated. And it's like, pal, we're not doing a student film. We're just changing the date. So I'm like, well, I'm not coming. It's like, all right, then don't show up. Now I know these people are rolling. They're miserable. You know what I mean? I get calls from these people who are like, oh, I never thought it would go like this. I can't believe this. This is unbelievable. So it's like, it's rough. You know what I mean? It's also very exciting. You know what I mean? Because there are none of these preconceived notions, you know? And you're finding actors who are the same thing as you, ripe. You know what I mean? Somebody who's just falling from this tree. So, I mean, there's both sides to that. You know what I mean? Being an independent filmmaker, your first time out, no credibility, no money, no connections, it's rough, you know? But what do you have the opportunity to do? You have the opportunity to find people who believe in the same things you believe in, who are going for the same thing that you're going for, and who have the same heart that you have, and who are going to give themselves 150% to a project. You can't beat that, you know? So it's somewhere in the middle of that, you know? It's just the same way as how do you feel about going from doing an independent film to a studio now? It's like your problems just change hands, you know? It's like things I worried about with independent filmmaking I'm not going to have to worry about now at studios, but things I didn't worry about when I was making my first film I'm going to have to worry about now. So, I mean, you know, it's a give and take thing.
Rob Weiss, thank you very much for talking with us.
Hey, thanks for your time.
Rob Weiss wrote and directed the new film Amongst Friends. It opens in New York July 23rd and in other cities August 13th. This is Fresh Air.